Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we're going to be chatting about all things reality television, celebrity gossip, and normal people gossip. So Phoebe, I thought we could just start with any normal people gossip you might have to share. Oh my God, sorry.
I don't think I have any.
You have no normal people gossip to share?
No, not at the moment. I don't believe so.
That's kind of annoying.
That's kind of why we have this podcast, though.
To talk about those things. Well, I have normal people gossip.
What? Oh, okay.
It's about our
then
mom.
You tell me.
It's about our mom.
Oh.
So, mom, you guys, mom is obsessed with Benson Boone. And this couldn't have come at, honestly, like a worse time for us, for me personally, because my timeline was flooded with like Benson Boone is kind of
cringe.
Kind of a living, breathing ick. Ah! Did we just say that? Mom just turned off the podcast, by the way. So now we're free to say whatever we want.
Mom literally called me. Well, she had been texting us. Earlier this week, it was the first text she sent me. And she also texted me separately. She texted Caroline separately. And then she also texted us together about Benson Boone. And then she called me later that day. She claims not to talk about Benson Boone, but that was the first thing she brought up and just about the only thing that we talked about on the phone. And she goes, If he starts dating Jennifer Lopez, I don't like that.
And
she is too old for him.
To be clear, is there a threat of that? Where is she getting
Yes.
it? Wait, I don't. Okay, you're going to have to update me because I don't know about this.
People have been saying, and Mimi and I clocked it when we watched the Grammys live, the way that she is looking at him. I don't know if they were actually seated at the same table the whole night or if this was just for his performance, like when he got up from the seat. So I don't know if that was actually his spot or her spot. But the way she is looking at him as he gets ready to sing is like, you're coming home with me. Like, it is like she is enthralled and entranced by him.
Well, I mean, Phoebe, that does seem to be his effect on women.
Yes, but mom is just saying, and mom clocked it when she saw that, when she watched the performance, she clocked it as well. And she's just like, I hope it doesn't go that way. And I don't think it will. Because the question that Benson Boone asks, I believe, every morning when he gets out of bed is, what would Harry Styles do? And then he does the most financially accessible option of that that he can. Which I guess in that case, maybe Jennifer Lopez, I mean, she's kind of the same age as Olivia Wilde. Maybe he would go for Jennifer Lopez.
I mean, because Harry Styles likes older women, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
I do think, like, sorry, not pitting women against each other, but if Benson Boone gets with J-Lo, that usurps Harry getting with Olivia Wilde, Harry getting with Livy.
No, I agree. I mean, yeah, J-Lo, but they both, I don't know. I think that, like, obviously J-Lo's J-Lo. So that's kind of like, and again, not
so she's
to,
got
not
that going
women
for
like
her.
This, but I'm like, she's kind of the get. No offense, yeah, Olivia Wilde. But unfortunately for both of them, anything that they have going for them is superseded by their pick me disease that they both have.
Their like commitment to being such high drama on the day to day.
They're different brands of Aria. Aria would align herself more with Olivia Wilde.
I have to say, yeah, it's more endearing coming from J-Lo. You know what I mean? Like, Olivia Wilde is giving the, like, we did it, like truly pick me Aria Montgomery disease, whereas J-Lo is giving more, like, she's living in her delusion, but, like, it's she's not trying to bother anyone with it. And she's not, like, being annoying. She's just like, this is the greatest love story that was never told. And maybe there was a reason it was never told, but, like, I have to tell it first to figure that out.
There's an earnestness to J-Lo,
and it's just like,
I don't think that's really an adjective that people would typically pull out of a hat to describe J-Lo, but it is
true.
She's
earnest. That's why they
listen
to the Pretty Little Podcast. That's why they listen to us, because we're making the points that people just aren't making. People are just not saying it, but now
the truth of the matter is, maybe people aren't saying them because we're just wrong, which I think is what a lot of people who listen to us would probably think.
Phoebe, shut up. That speak for yourself if you're going to be saying insane shit like that. Yeah, so mom, you might have to fight J-Lo for Benson for BB, but it is funny. Like, I saw this tweet that was like, okay, but it is happening. We're not being mean. Benson Boone is doing almost exactly what Harry Styles, like the outfits. I mean,
it's actually down to the shoes.
It's like Benson, Benny, you're not noticing this?
All these Benson Boone stans will respond putting pictures of Harry next to other people that it looks like, that look like they've inspired Harry. The difference is,
it's like Elton John.
Those are stars from like the 70s. So it's kind of like a refurbished version of something that we have nostalgia for, and yeah, something that was iconic of another day. It's like we didn't have an Elton John. We didn't have a Mick Jagger. So we see Harry pulling from that time period. Benson Boone, it's been three years since the album came out. It hasn't been 30. So like, I think you need, there's hasn't been enough. We don't need another Harry Styles yet. Be Benson Boone.
There's a difference. Just be you. Hey, BB, yeah, just be you. I just think there's a difference between like, yeah, being inspired by and emulating someone and just being a straight up copycat. And like, I just am not team copycats pretty much across the board. Like,
down to the, like, down to as the Phoebe said, be you.
Just be you. Well, can Harry Styles do a backflip though?
Well, okay, the backflip is definitely Benson Boone's
okay
thing.
And, and you know,
I'll
what?
Give him the
and
backflip.
So maybe instead of this, maybe instead of wearing the,
join Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, go out for the Olympics. Do so, or yeah, even better yet, just make your whole thing being like an acrobatic pop star.
Just be you.
Just be you.
Go on tour with Pink.
Go on tour with Pink. What? Why did you say that?
You know what Pink does on her tours.
Okay, yeah. Well, don't say that as if I'm like seated at every Pink concert. But I won't speak ill on Pink. Like, I'm not educated enough on what Pink is doing at her tours to speak on this, frankly.
Wait, you absolutely should be. That's a piece of the culture. She
I know what she's doing. Had this exact same conversation. Like, you've explained it to me. I do
know.
That's
why Benson Boone should go on tour with her.
What she's
doing. They're
doing
the same thing.
Well, no, they're not. Well, actually, no, they're not.
Kind of. They actually complement each other in a great way.
No, she is suspended in air by like cables. He is suspended in air by sheer will, by sheer aerodynamics and yeah, belief and belief in himself that he can stay up there that long to do a backflip.
I don't know. I think I just cracked something.
Can you
think
imagine if he had fallen? I don't really want to even say it. And I'm not like saying it would be funny. It wouldn't be funny. But like, what if he tried to do the backflip and like it went horribly awry at the Grammys? How sure do you have to be that you can clear it to do it at the Grammys?
Did you see his American Idol audition?
No. Is that where he's from?
Yeah, but I don't think he made it super far. He's like one of the people that like we talked about on the Thursday episode. Like, sometimes the people that don't win
have a better career. Yeah.
And I think that's what he's experiencing. But when he got all of his yeses, he did a bunch of flips. And I do just want to say, if you like Benson Boone, that's awesome. And I love that for you. It's not that it's just we're pointing out what people have been saying.
I mean,
Cammy really likes Benson Boone. Like, when I came home over break, she was like, because she's never really been like a music girl. She doesn't really listen to music. So it's always like she will always, when she finds music that she likes, she's excited to tell me or talk about it. And she was like, I found this guy, Benson Boone.
Oh my God.
I really love him. And I was like, you know, it's the same people that like love the song Die With a Smile. That's why it's the most streamed. It's about to overtake Dance Monkey as the most streamed global song.
Oh my God. I do not get it. I do not like Die With a Smile.
I don't hate it.
I'm sick of it.
Fine.
And maybe
I mean,
that's
I don't
also
put
what
it on.
Is. It's like with the Benson Boone stuff, it's like I just have heard it too much. Don't wait. You never heard him?
Mom, you never heard it?
Like, it's playing.
Okay, this is
everywhere.
Let me see if I can pull up the text mom sent me about Benson Boone,
well,
and then we'll
they're in the chat.
That, No, but she's, I'm saying the separate one.
Oh, right. So again, as Phoebe said, she texted Phoebe separately. She texted me separately. She texted us together. The text that she sent us together was like, we're talking about something else. Okay. In the Connell Momager chat.
You actually sent one of our TikToks, I think.
Well, this was something. Yeah. I sent, well, at first I sent one of our TikToks and she goes, and you know how like when you send a TikTok, it says like, this will make your day or whatever. Mom responds and says, unless it has Benson Boone in it, it will not make my day. Oh my God. That's an insane thing to say. But before that, she sends us a text saying, also, I'm literally obsessed over Benson Boone. Why aren't y'all? 3 question marks. Why didn't I know about him? Now that I can't answer. I do not know why you didn't know about him. Mom.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, surely he was on the Today Show or something. No, she
he
just
gives
she
such just, Today Show energy.
Which is why moms would love him, yes. But she just stumbled across his Grammy performance.
Is he like a Christian artist?
Well, I wouldn't say he's a Christian artist. He is a Mormon though, but he's okay. Not like, I don't know. I think he's like a Real Housewives Mormon. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like, I don't. Because
he also just has the energy of like a youth pastor.
Yeah, someone posted a picture of Gracie and Benson Boone and said, oh, Charlie and Troy for people that went to youth group.
Absolutely. That and that is just hitting the nail on the head. Like, that's.
And I, okay, I sent Mimi a text last night, and I don't mean to be mean. You know that we on this podcast enjoy and love Gracie Abrams.
Yes, absolutely.
I need her to grow the hair out.
Oh my God, why?
I'm
I like
so
it.
So tired of the bob. I saw a video of her yesterday, and the way that the bob fell on her head, I was just like, She looks so much better with long hair.
I don't know. I can't. At this point, I'm like, she'll never go back. Like, it's just, I can't even, like, imagine her at this point being who she is with long hair. And these are the sort of things
because,
that we talk about
on
the
Pretty
Little Podcast.
I know that Senorita Awesome didn't necessarily have a bob, but she has the energy of someone who would have one. And this is coming from someone who had a bob for a long time.
Well, not by your own choice, though. We all had a
yeah, but
bob
I was chill with
will
it.
For, well, I wasn't. Let me tell you,
I was like,
I wasn't.
I didn't care. I didn't give a shit about what my hair looked like.
You're like,
I had
it's
gonna
be under a fedora. It does not matter. hey, do whatever you want. Take me to the beauty imagine. School and let them go crazy and just try out new things. Because it doesn't matter. I'm gonna be in a fedora at all times.
Imagine we find out that my hair is actually curly, but I wore a fedora for so long that it like trained my hair to grow bone straight. Okay, mom texted me and said, Thursday, 9 a.m. I'm obsessed with Benson Boone. He is adorable. And oh which I'm God. Sure is what Benson Boone is going for.
Yes.
I said, that's awesome. You'll love Harry Styles then. And she said, I know Harry Styles, .. This kid is just so real. The song about his grandmother with the like blushing emoji with the hearts around it. And then, so she sent me that at 9:40. And then 5 minutes later, how did I just find out about him? And then at 2:30, she texts me about, okay, so a week before this text, the whole world found out about Joe Biden signing to CIA. Mom messages me like a week after the news breaks, CIA signed Joe Biden. And I said, okay. And then she said, Gil, I feel so out of touch. Why did you never tell me about Benson? Benson, we're on a first name basis now.
Oh,
and
oh my
said,
God.
I said, I'm not, I don't know. I'm not particularly enamored by him, but I love that you love him. Cammy loves him. And mom said, I think I've watched everything he's ever posted. He is so likable. He also has some catchy tunes.
And so, by the way, guys, at this point, we realize, oh, mom has no idea what he sings. She's not enamored with him because of his music.
Him.
She just likes his whole vibe. Which is also what we are not loving. So it just shows you what on earth. It's also funny.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I just think it's funny that I know Harry Styles. Like,
literally.
She doesn't really do
old
it
news.
For me. And also how mom goes on. I love when mom decides that somebody's likable. And I can think of, like, specific people that I'm like, this is such a win for me personally when mom's like, I just think he or she is really so likable.
Well, it's like with, she doesn't love the Kardashians. She never has, but she does.
But she says that Kim Kardashian, especially, they're so real. And she says they're likable. she'll be like, she's really likable. I remember, like, she would say, anytime she said it about, like, my stars, you know, like, someone that I was loving, Miley Cyrus, I think, is one who, like, went on a talk show. And mom was like, oh, my God, Miley is so likable. And so it's just such a feather in my cap when somebody that I love and champion, mom also decides is likable one day. And the most recent one that I've added in my collection is not actually Benson Boone, but Pete Davidson. Mom texts the whole family, I believe, a video of Pete Davidson talking about getting his tattoos removed, like laser tattoo removal, and talking about how painful it is and telling people to think long and hard before getting that Game of Thrones tattoo. And she sends it and she's like, oh my God, ha ha ha. Pulls out that direct quote, like sends it in the message. And then she's like, he seems really mature. He's really likable, which is just never what I thought I was going to hear her say about Pete Davidson. But then I also realized that the reason she sent that video is because she wants me to not get tattoos anymore. And it's like
mom,
whatever.
Mom, the plan was never for Caroline to get tattoos like Pete Davidson.
No, I'm not going to get a Game of Thrones tattoo. Don't worry.
You got one tattoo and mom saw like visions of your body like completely covered.
Like it's crazy. And you know what? I will say something live on air. I do not think this is going to be my last tattoo, the one that I have. I probably will get more. But I am never going to be getting. Once you watch Game of Thrones, you'll understand that I am like Khaleesi. And like Khaleesi, I have my dragons.
Across your back.
I'm just not going to get that tattooed on my back.
You're gonna have it written in Anthony and Kelly's handwriting. Like they each take a word. Because
they're my dragons. Because they're your dragons. Of course. Yeah. The thing, though, that's so funny is that I have to be a little bit of a hater for Benson Boone, though, because this is so funny. And this is where I'm like, I don't even think I brought this up to mom, and I won't. Because I just don't want to, like, break her. But, like, this kind of shit makes me not really like him. So some girl makes a TikTok, and she tweets this. This is at...
Not some girl. She's so funny. I don't remember her name, though. Well, but she's not just a random TikToker.
I didn't see the TikTok. Like, I only saw the tweet. So I don't... I didn't see, like,
it's
her
It's that Caroline
face.
Girl. Yeah. Her name's Carolina.
Her username on Twitter is Carrot Lime. She just was, like, a random account to me on Twitter. So I didn't see the video. But she writes, I made a TikTok saying he was coming for Harry's nachos and he found my Insta to send me this. You can't even call a man unoriginal anymore because of woke. And Benson Boone finds her Instagram. Why not just message her on TikTok, by the way?
Yeah, I did wonder. I wondered about that.
Finds her Instagram and messages
Maybe
her.
Maybe there's different. Are there different rules on TikTok? I've never tried to DM someone. I'm not like.
I don't know. But, I mean, I'm sorry. At what point do you not get distracted when you're going from TikTok to Instagram to look for the girl? Like, I get distracted and I forget my purpose. And then that's actually a blessing. He messages her.
That's what I take issue with more than the actual
Me
message.
Too. Like, it's like creepy behavior that you went and, like, you were so pressed about this. You know how many things I've been pressed about that I have not gone and, like, tracked the person down somewhere else to say something to them, like, and that's saying something, okay? I'm vindictive.
With two very specific exceptions.
What?
Of people that you would hunt down.
Who?
I'm not going to say their names on this
podcast.
Well,
but need to know.
But they're integral to the fabric of it.
But they know who they are. But they absolutely know who they are.
Well, they don't listen to this.
Well, we don't know that.
I do.
No, you don't.
No way they listen.
I hope. Hey, guys. Do you guys know who we're talking about? You do. Hey, you do. you know who you are and you do.
even if you're not sure, but you think it could be you, then it might not be you. But just to be safe, think that it is.
So Benson Boone's message. What a sad video to post. I hope someday when Harry comes to the Grammys, you feel fulfilled. Hey, by the way, Benson, he's been to the fucking Grammys. He's like, I don't know who this Harry guy is you guys keep comparing me to, but I hope one day he makes it like I did. Okay?
He has to say that because otherwise it's like, okay, you know who he is and you know that he's worn those exact outfits.
Right. Okay, so I hope someday when Harry comes to the Grammys, you feel fulfilled. But in the meantime, I genuinely hope you get all the good feelings in the world from tearing other people down. Have a nice day. All the best. Like, that's just a message you never needed to send. And it did the opposite of what you wanted it to do. What makes you think that the girl who made the video making fun of you isn't gonna then screenshot this and make fun of you more? Like, come on, Benson, know your audience. So, Mom, that I had seen that right before I get all the, like, I worship Benson Boone text from our mother. And I was just like, oh, I have a bad taste in my mouth now. And I'm also sick of his songs, but I only know a couple of them. But it's just their grocery store songs.
I only know that one, the Beautiful Things song, which I actually,
these beautiful things that I got.
When it started going, and this is something that I think a lot of people that come from TikTok are going to have to start balancing, which is like, with Lizzie McAlpine, it bothered me initially when she would, like, try to distance herself from TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one song that went especially viral, and she said in interviews, I'm never releasing that song. And it's like, I really like that song, though, and that's how a lot of us found you. And it kind of feels like turning your back on your roots. But, like, I remember, like, and also I feel the same way about Beautiful Things as I do with that Sailor song.
Yes.
What's her name?
Gigi Perez or
it's
whatever.
It's like, I like it. I like it. And then I think about adding it to my playlist, and then there's something about it that I'm just like, I actually don't think I like that song. Mm-hmm. And then it's like played over and over again, and then it's just like an oversaturation. And then they, like, certain people will lean into it. Other people, like, are able to use it as a tool, not an identity, which I think is something that we're going to have to discuss in the future. Not us specifically, but us but as maybe a society and culture.
Anywho, so that's really all I wanted to say about Mom and Benson Boone. Do you have anything to add?
No, but I do just want to say, like, it does make me want to cry.
It is, like, cute that she just, like, feels so
when mom has because, like, Mom doesn't really listen to music. Like, she like doesn't know how to find the Spotify app on her phone,
but also she, like, we think of Mom so differently because also, like, I remember, like, Mom was the first person ever who was showing me music. And I feel like you experienced that differently because you had an older sister. And it was like, you know what I mean?
Well, Dad was also more like, music was me and Dad's thing.
Yeah. But it was like, I was in the car with Mom all the time as a kid. And she was playing Red Hot Chili Peppers, James Blunt, Gwen Stefani. Like, those were like, Nelly Furtado, all those songs. So I remember being the kid that knew music. And none of my friends knew music, but Mom was like playing this stuff. So for
me, you know what ruined that? Which is interesting because
me wanting the aux.
Maybe. But I also think when she got Sirius XM.
Probably, because, but that was also way
because
after.
Two things happened. And what I'm saying is it's interesting that radio would shift the way that someone consumes music, which I think is what happened with Mom. Like, she used to have the artists that she loved.
Well, she still loves them. CD.
But, like, she'd get CDs and things like that. And then it became, well, I'll just put Hits 1 on the radio. And then Mom discovered that she can actually just listen to Andy Cohen all day. So she doesn't really listen to music. So when she does find, like, non Bravo celebrities that she, like, loves, it, like, warms my little heart.
No, it is so cute. I think also, you are, and this is not this, I think this is gonna sound like a read, but I don't mean it like that. I think that
I really don't.
I just think that it could come off like that way, maybe, if you want to take it that way, and I'm telling you not to. But I think that you're at, like, an age that I also remember having this age, going through this age, where, like, you start to really realize that your mom is, like, just a girl. And that your mom is, like, just like you. And, like, I feel like it's a canon.
I feel like that happens, like, once you
graduate
college.
Yes. Once you start having, like, a life that's your own and you realize, like, your mom also has a life that's her own.
Get this. My first summer out of college was Barbie summer. So I had this feeling. And then also,
oh my God,
I was watching my little sister be mean to my mom. And then also, then Barbie comes out and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like this existential, it was like a doubling down on that feeling.
Yes.
It was like
totally
a, making a composite.
Totally.
Of it.
And I just didn't want that to sound like I'm saying, like, oh, you're just at this age. But, like, I do think it's a pretty canon, like, experience. And it is like, I'm letting you know, it'll hurt less later, but it also is like, it's just like so sweet to think of your mom finding a song and a person that she loves and like just sitting like, there and watching every video he's ever posted. It is precious. Yeah.
When you're a kid and like seeing her follow him. Like
I know.
Seeing,
like, I know. I know.
Thinking of her curating the people that she follows on Instagram. Yeah. Is but it's like I think when you're a kid, your parent is like who you're with all the time. So you kind of think of them as like a facet of who
An
you
extension
are. And
of
then
you.
When you get
yeah.
older, you're like, wait, you do everything I do.
Yes.
And also,
you're also
this is
just
your
like
first time going through
you're
all these
less
things also.
Self-absorbed because you have to be. You know what I mean? Like when you're in school, your only job is to just like focus on you and get your shit done and like get to a place where like you can get in the world and like that's your job. And then you get in the world and you're like, okay, I no longer have that. And I'm not as focused on me all the time. And it's like, not in a selfish way, just mean like that is how you're supposed to be. That's what that time is for. And then it's like, oh my God, I get in the world and I think about, and it just feels so different. I totally know what you're saying. Well, I am wondering if you've seen any of the Build-A-Bear marketing lately.
Girl, no.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't follow Build-A-Bear, but this did show up. Like, it was promoted for me. Phoebe, I don't know what's happening over there, but they are promoting something called Build-A-Bear After Dark. And it's, like, for adults. And it's like a sex thing. I don't know. They're...
Oh my God. I just decided I don't want to talk about it. I just decided I actually don't want to talk about it.
Well, good news for you. This is a democracy.
You know what
and
I,
we both
you,
get to
you
talk
know,
about things you want to talk about.
You know what's on the agenda that I'd actually rather talk about is I wanna know what I have some suggestions means.
Well, I'll get there, but I just do think it's important to know. I need everybody to go to the Build-A-Bear page because it's not a separate page. They're like introducing this. And it's a video of a Build-A-Bear like in not lingerie, but like kind of. And just go look right now. Okay. And it's like, and I was like, okay, the marketing team like went a little bit crazy with this one. Maybe it's just a joke. It's just funny, but it does seem very weird to make this kind of a joke with a brand that is very much a children's brand. And then I see it's actually not a joke. They are releasing a sector of Build-A-Bear called Build-A-Bear After Dark. And it is like, I'm pretty sure celebrating, the things one might be into in the bedroom. Like, I think the outfits you can get the bears are like, I don't know, bondage?
Wait, I don't see it.
No way. Shut the fuck up. No. No,
Caroline,
no, no.
We find out that,
no,
we find out that Caroline no, actually no. dreamed this
no,
up.
No. I'm like
is
seeing
this, is
dollar
this
signs.
It?
Yes. Yes. She's a cougar.
Well, yes. I know it's strange,
watch
but it's
it.
It just isn't what I was picturing.
Did you finish watching it yet?
The bear cave.
Does it not make you like a little bit scratch your head when you see that on the Build-A-Bear page?
Yeah, a little bit for sure.
And so then you go to Build-A-Bear After Dark, which is a real thing. Bear cave after dark teddy bears. You can get a cuddly cougar. And it says you are about to enter. You have to say, okay, it says the Bear Cave is filled with unexpected collabs and unique plush gifts intended for shoppers 18 and older. And you have to confirm your age before you go on the site.
That's so crazy. I mean, there must be a need in the market that they are needing to fill. And I guess Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Not this one that says, it's a little cat that says, I proper fancy you. I mean,
that's funny.
Some of them are not like weird, but a lot of them are. I just it is weird.
I think that's interesting.
As a principle, it's weird.
Yeah. Yes.
Romantasy book club gift set. Book boyfriend. I don't know. I mean, it's not. It's just weird. And also, if it's just going to be that stuff, that's like your book boyfriend. Why do I need to tell you how old I am to enter your site?
Yeah, weird.
It's weird. Okay, but you want to talk about what Anthony's grandma said?
Yeah.
I had brunch with Anthony's grandma and his family yesterday for his grandma's birthday. We went to the original pancake house, and it was hilarious. So we were sitting in this booth. It was as if we were in our own private room. I want every booth to be like this. They lead us back there, and it was like...
That is... And I don't go there. I haven't been there in a very long time, and I'm not really like a breakfast person, so I'm never like, let's go there. But Mom and Lily love it.
Yes.
But I do remember going, and it's very lavish.
Yes.
It's like a Cheesecake Factory kind of.
Well, maybe.
Aesthetically.
Sort of. Yeah, sort of. I think that's what they're going for sure. The booths, though, they lead us to like the back, like, this, I mean, it's as if they're like leading us to the back cave, like in Heretic, that back room where he keeps all the girls. That's sort of like where our booth was. And it's so long, and we're scooting in, and there's like a privacy screen. Like, it's giving Princess Diaries limo privacy screen over the top of our booth too. So it was like the booth, but it was like impossible. Like, no kid would have been able to put their grubby little hands over the side of the booth and like peek, you know, which is one of those, one of those great experiences you get at a restaurant like this.
Right.
No.
Remember when we got that at PF Chang's, I feel.
Yes. And there's nothing better sometimes than a kid who's just like wants to fuck with your table a little bit. And it's like, okay, so this is the entertainment for the evening and I'm here for it.
Right.
There was no potential for that to happen. We were like so secluded. I was like, they are never going to see us. But I loved it. So anyway, we're sitting there and we're eating, and Anthony's grandma looks over at Anthony's father and says, I don't want to get this wrong. I immediately wrote it down after she said it. It was just too good. Okay, yes. Yes. She looks at him and she goes, well, I have some suggestions on just common sense sort of things for you.
What a read. That's a read if I've ever heard one.
I know. I have some suggestions on just common sense sort of things for you.
For you. For not, I thought that maybe it'd be like a comment on the world.
Or like
on
for
a greater
table,
scale. But
for the whole
you
table.
Specifically.
Or for me and Anthony.
And I'm
going to
do it
know?
In front of. And I'm gonna do it in front of everyone.
She didn't even. She was like, we'll talk later. Like, it was like, let's put a pin in it. Like, it's not a discussion
but
for
I
the
need
breakfast
you,
table.
But I need you to know.
But you should know it's
some.
Coming. It's coming. And something that's happened at this table has triggered me letting you know that it's coming. I don't know what it was. I was like,
some sort of
I was like,
common sense.
I have some suggestions and just some common sense sort of things for you.
Oh my
I'm sorry.
God.
It's so fucking funny. She's sitting there with her sunglasses on like diva. I love it. Okay. Well, is it time to get into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion
yeah,
part
and
three.
For those of you who don't watch, this is the last time for like a year probably. You'll have to hear us talk about it unless anything crazy happens.
Yeah, which it's always a possibility. We got Brittany Bateman. She walked onto the stage. No grand entrance. No grand entrance for Brittany Bateman, which I don't think any of them got one, did they?
I don't think so, but I took a video of Brittany so I wouldn't forget the face that made me actually like have to pause and because I was missing stuff from how I was laughing at her. She, let me see if I can hear what's being said. I love when she says, look, I think sometimes I say things and I don't know how they're coming out of my mouth. It's like, well, that's clear.
It's like,
but
I can confirm.
She okay, it's when Andy says, Brittany, you eventually came clean about sleeping with Jared. And we don't see Andy saying it. We just see Brittany. And she's sitting like this in the couch. Caroline will be able to put words to it in a second once I do it.
Oh.
She has her arm up on the couch like this. And she's looking at Andy and she goes. I'll show you the video and let's see how I did. Oh my
diva
god.
Down. Oh my god. The cough will never go away. Oh my god. So I had to sneeze now. Anyway.
Caroline is allergic to Brittany Bateman.
So as it turns out, I'm allergic to bro. God. Oh, and here we go again. Sorry. I think I told you guys now I sneeze like to. I sneeze like,
oh my god.
I sneeze like 10 times in a row now.
Okay, dad.
It's horrible. Like, once it starts, it's just like, oh great. I'm just like in. I was like,
okay, well, if we're gonna do this, I'm gonna go get a Diet Coke real quick. So other than that attack, do you have any thoughts on Britney's look that I just showed you?
Yeah, she looks like she is literally like remembering this moment in time of her coming clean about it, like stupid inside her mind. Like she feels more shame about this, about coming clean, about having sex with Jared, than the shame she feels about admitting she doesn't speak to her daughters, the various other insane antics literally, she got up to this season.
That was something that was crazy to me about Britney was Andy was like, you brought that up
because she was trying audition. To
pin. She was trying to pin this all on Bronwyn, that Bronwyn yeah. is somehow the reason she and her daughters don't speak, but they weren't speaking before she met Bronwyn. And Andy's like, you said that in your audition. And then they show it.
I liked that Andy was like really holding her to the flame. Like he's like, no. Like,
well, he hates when they try to turn things yeah. on production or when they try to undermine certain right. processes and things. And it's like, he's like, you're not gonna, no,
not on my
We're
show.
We're gonna, he's like, you can lie about each other.
Yes.
But you don't lie about the machine.
Right. About the Bravo machine. Yeah. I mean, and Britney, literally, it was just like ridiculous. She was unbelievable in this reunion and this season, and she just really showed what an integral part of this machine she really is. One of the things that had me dying over her was, first of all, them showing her audition video where she does say, yeah, my daughters aren't really speaking to me right now, and she like bursts out laughing. And then she says, well, then they started speaking to me during the show. And now they're not again. And now it's because of Bronwyn. And it's like, well, no, it's probably because of the damage you've done on your relationship with these girls for their whole lives. Like, you were probably never really back in their good graces. But the reality is, if this were the very first thing that had ever happened and Bronwyn really did say something and your daughters heard that, then they wouldn't cut you off the way they are right now. It's because this is not the first fucking time, Brittany. Like, how many times are you going to hurt them and expect them to, like, let you back in their lives, you know?
Exactly.
It's just crazy. And I'm sorry, but the text that Jared sent Bronwyn, I'm going to pull it up to read it. I was in disbelief. And I love how Brittany's like, no, don't read it. Because Bronwyn's like, I'll read it. And Brittany's like, no. He told me I don't, like, she's like, that is the last thing they want. But that's the thing is, I'm sorry, Jared Osment and Brittany Bateman are two of the most fame hungry people we have seen in a while. How are they making these rookie mistakes? Especially Jared. You're an Osmond. Did your family not teach you? Like, did you not think it would be brought up on the reunion? And Brittany, did you think that you saying, no, we don't need to read it would actually keep her from reading it? Like, Andy is like, no, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, the whole thing. Mary's like, the whole thing. Mary and Andy were cracking me up, but I'm going to.
And I also, I love Mary and Angie sitting there while they're talking. They're Angie's like, it is a sin. But yeah. I mean, who cares? It's not a big deal.
She is sinning.
And Mary goes, yeah, well, it is sinning. It is sinning.
And Angie's like, yeah, she's sinning. Like, yeah. It's like, and that is, if you want to call yourself this version of a Mormon, I do think, like, I'm not going to walk around calling myself. Let's say it was like me walking into the Vatican to get confession right after my wedding. And I walk in and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been living with my husband. We've been living in sin, but I'm a super Catholic. Well, like, I don't get to claim that if I'm not going to follow the fucking Ten Commandments down to, like, the letter. You know what I mean? And so it's fine to choose that. But then, like, you don't need to also... It was like she felt like she needed to have this Mormon storyline. I don't know. It's bizarre.
I don't understand how... And, I mean, I know that, like, there's a lot of, like, trauma that comes from being in that church community. But I wish someone had stood up for Angie more about the wine than they did, rather than trying to be like, well, it makes sense that Britney would feel that way.
Yes.
And it's like, well, it might make sense. But Angie and her, the only times Angie's ever been around Britney, they've been drinking. So yeah. and they're filming that. Like, it's all on camera. So the idea, it's a normal thing to bring a bottle of wine to someone's house for the first time.
Right.
And I don't think that Angie deserves to be in trouble,
right?
Because she had a different understanding of Britney's Mormonism than everybody else did,
right?
I don't know. I was like, I wish that instead of trying to be like, well, I understand because I was Mormon, I wish Heather and Bronwyn either hadn't said anything or had been like, well,
right,
I understand why Angie who also grew up in the Mormon church might think it's okay to bring that.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, totally. I'm going to play the text from Jared Osmond because it's just too good and I can't find it written anywhere.
Jared sent me. This is the way that the man you're in love with talks to women.
No, no, no. I actually know because he told me about it. And I said, okay, well, I said,
Sophie.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'd like to.
Yeah, okay. Andy, you want to hear the whole thing or just the worst part?
The whole thing, bitch.
Okay. 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 Honestly, Bronwyn.
All the dirt.
What the f-ing hell is your f-ing problem? Are you f-ing kidding me coming out on national television making fun of my anatomy, you little bitch? Do you even understand the backlash I'm getting on social media? I guarantee I am twice the size of any man you've ever been with. I am disgusted by what a low vibrational human you are to disparage me like that, all for the sake of trying to earn your spot on a show. And this is my favorite part. I could certainly pick apart all of your anatomy, but I'll remain classy in the public eye and keep it between you and me.
I know the text is crazy, but the best part of that whole listening, watching experience is Mary listening and going,
she's like floored. But it is
Mary. I know that we're about to talk about the text, but I do just want to say what a redemption arc Mary has had. She is without a doubt my favorite housewife on this season. She completely won everybody back over. It's because, for better or for worse, I think that she just kind of gets to be a housewife with a snowflake, but she gives friend of vibes.
Yes, and also she's just like, for some reason, she feels like above the Bravo machine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like,
And Andy
allows it, even, and we'll get there, but later on when they're like, okay, well, let's all go around and say something really nice about each other. And Mary's like, and Andy, I'd like you to do me. Okay, well, Andy's not playing, Mary. Like, it's
and then he does it.
And then he's like, well, okay. And Mary's like, oh my God, Andy. Like, one of the things he said, he's like, it's so nice. And it's like, you have to say it.
The cheers at the end was Miller High Life, Mary's
quote-unquote
favorite beer, because it's the champagne of beers. And I remember that moment in the cave when they said, this is the champagne of beer. And she goes, oh, what year? What year is this from? And they're like, this year?
Insane.
I think the text is crazy. Like, and this also, by the way, the text is a response to Bronwyn saying on the after show that, like, she had heard some rumor that I don't even think Bronwyn said it. I think she just said, like, wasn't very gifted or something. And then I'm pretty sure Whitney Wild Rose, I could be totally wrong, but I think she's the one who said, I heard he had a micro penis. So that's what they said. The reality is, like, it's just such an amazing depiction of how fragile men are. Like, I'm sorry, that was enough. Think about all of the things that have been said about these women on this show, online, that they have not answered or, like, done something like this. Like, certainly, you know, there's more to choose from, but it's like one thing is said about you and you cannot handle it and you fucking go crazy and you send a message like that and you don't think that's ever going to come up. When you bring up, I'm bigger than any man you've ever been with is actually the most insane.
You type that in like, I just can't imagine that.
No. And then saying that he could talk about her anatomy. Really, what could you possibly say about Bronwyn Newport's anatomy? Like, what could you possibly say? I can't think of it because she's like beautiful and rich and like, you're just, it's so gross to speak to a woman like that at all, but to speak about a woman like that, like to say these kind of, like, it's just such a disgusting.
During this, Brittany was not with him. And then after the reunion, they get back
together.
And
she's like, guys, we are 100% done. Like, I swear I would never be with someone like that. And then literally the producer is so messy, put up the little caption that's like, and as of the airing of the reunion, we believe they are back together. So thoughts on, do you think Brittany's going to come back? Do we want her to come back? How are we feeling?
Yeah, I think she has to come back.
I think she has to come back. She is reality TV gold. I also think that, what do you think of Whitney? So Whitney's saying that she brought up that text because, as Lisa said, the worst thing you could ever say about Lisa is something about her marriage, her husband. So Whitney's like, The game was we were choosing the worst thing we ever said, and that is the worst thing I've ever said about you. And that's why I chose it, because that was the most important thing for me to burn with you. And I'm like, I don't know, because you still brought new information to camera.
Yeah, and my issue with Whitney a lot of the time is, and I understand, like, that was the game. But everybody at the table kind of tempered it accordingly.
Yeah.
So as to not really go crazy.
Right.
My issue with Whitney a lot of the time is, like, she, and I'm not saying this is entirely bad, but I think because she's the one on her healing journey, she can prioritize her needs and her XYZ and at the detriment of the people in her life. So, like, you might have needed to say this out loud to quote, burn it. But that doesn't. Sometimes you don't get to do things that you need to do.
Well, and also,
like, sometimes you don't get to, like, do that. You don't get to. And but it was important. And that's the thing. It seems disingenuous. I don't think it was actually needed for you to burn it with Lisa.
And also,
you
Lisa
wanted
would
to
have
be
never
messy
known.
And bring it to camera. And I would respect you more if you were honest about your motives,
yes.
which you never are. It all comes back to your healing journey, and I don't buy it.
That's the thing. Just like I am saying that Lisa Barlow cannot take accountability, and it is making me like her less and less. Like, I started this season such a Lisa Barlow stan and, like, would go so hard in the paint for her. I'm ending this season feeling like I honestly am so exhausted by her. Like, the constant inability to take accountability, to look in the mirror, to just say she's fucking sorry. Like, it's exhausting. And it's like, okay, well, Lisa, how are you supposed to move forward filming the show if you're burning the bridge with fucking everyone on it? Like, you're not going to be able to even. And it's just getting old. It's not entertaining anymore to hear Lisa Barlow.
Well, I have been fucked over but so many times by all of you guys. I'm a kid of six. I have six kids, and I literally could have been trafficked, and my parents wouldn't have even known.
Like, that was insane. Why did you say that? She will just bring it back to Lisa Barlow and how much worse she has it than everyone else. But the thing is, Whitney does it too. Like, Whitney also takes no accountability. I know you're on your healing journey, and I'm sure there's a lot of accountability there, but it's not showing up here on set with these women.
This is a crazy comparison to drop, but bear with me.
I can't wait.
It's kind of like the relationship between Carl and Lindsay, because Carl was the one doing the work, going to therapy. So he was able to cloak a lot of his, in my opinion, mistakes and shortcomings and things that I disagreed with like, well, I'm on my journey. But his therapy and his sobriety was a tool for him in a lot of ways that I think, like, made it so that he didn't always have to take accountability, or he could, like, in a more disguised way, attack.
No, I do
Lindsay
see what you're saying.
Wasn't going through. She has always been the louder, more boisterous, the less self-aware one. So it's like when you put these two people next to each other, Lindsay's the one that looks crazy a lot of times. And a lot of the stuff that she did, like Lisa, is unforgivable and, like, bad objectively. But because it's more in your face, it's easier to point to her and say she's in the wrong more. And because it's the same way with Lisa, and then with Whitney, it's like she's just, it's harder to, the things she's doing wrong are not as in your face.
Yeah. I want to give a little bit of credit to Lindsay, because she and Carl were in couples therapy for, like, their entire relationship. So she was in therapy.
Totally. Yeah. But you know what we talked about, the way that
Carl
weaponized that.
I'm
going to
speak. No, I know. I think that what I'm saying is, like, when you're sober, similarly to when you are the only one in the group who's going to therapy, it comes off as like, well, out of all these people, they should act the most logical. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think what it is it's like, okay, well, we're in a house of people who are blackout drunk. And the one person who isn't and who's sober and who's waking up and working out and, like, meditating and all these things, we should take them more seriously because they should be thinking straighter, more clearer than the other people here. So they seem a little bit more
you know, whatever, or you're less likely to believe that they are crazy because, well, they're doing this work and we can see it and this other person's not. Whereas like for Whitney, I feel like she's one of the only people, probably besides Bronwyn, who's like really in therapy and like really on this healing journey. So it's like, okay, well, she should have this self-awareness and this like emotional intelligence to be above all of this. So it's harder for the audience to want to make her take accountability because it's like, well, when you put her next to someone like Lisa Barlow, who has absolutely zero self-awareness. Yeah. No, I know. I'm saying I think that like, I'm just building on what you said because I agree with you. And
I'm just saying you said it in a way that made more sense than how I said it.
It's just like, yeah, I think it's like, well, out of all of us, Whitney should be the person who isn't like, you know, succumbing to the drama, but she still is like, that is still who she is. And just because they're going through this very public sort of journey on the self-betterment journey doesn't mean they are perfect and that there aren't other areas that like once they finish this area, they have to, that's, we're ever evolving. We always have to be choosing new areas of ourselves to improve and work on. And like, that's something that Lisa Barlow is not even going to start, but Whitney might not expand past where she currently is, like, I guess, you know.
I agree.
So anywho, yeah, and I think I don't know, so I think it was shitty of Whitney to bring it to camera. I think like you can say as much as you want that was the worst thing, but I do think that Lisa, like, get over yourself a little bit. Like, terrible things were said about everybody here and you are not,
and a lot of it came from you.
Yes. And you're not more important than everybody else here. Like, just because something was said about your marriage, like, honestly, the way you're acting about it makes me think that you're more guilty of it than you probably are. I don't know.
I agree.
Anywho, do you have any other final thoughts on Salt Lake? What an amazing season of reality television.
I know, they really put in the work. And I think that the thing about them is that they really, like, I think that it's like they're severed. It's like that when they're on the show, it's like they're inny. And then when the season's over, it's they're outie again.
That's a great point. And I bet a lot of them feel like that, like on these reality shows.
Right. And they just happen to be better at their jobs than any other franchise on Bravo right now.
I mean, I do believe that, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, they have a blood pact or some sort of thing where they were like, look, yes and as fuck when you're on screen. Mm-hmm. You just go with it. And then Lisa Barlow's like, that's fine, you can all do that, but I am probably not going to. And like, she just doesn't, but it's okay because she has shiny hair or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about Lisa Barlow? I don't feel like we're on the same page, which is fine, but
I'm not as hard in the paint as you are on not being there. But
I'm sad about it. I don't want to not love her anymore. But the thing is, she doesn't know. And that's what I can't stand. Like, how do you not know this is a bad season for you?
But I also think this last part of the reunion was much better for her. I mean, not the beginning, but as it got through, I think I ended up liking her a little bit more by the end of the reunion.
Hormone harmony. Road Warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news, with the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Well, let's move on and discuss traitors. Oh, my God. R.I.P. Boston Rob. I knew it was coming. I knew, like, his time was growing short. And I think...
Well, he could just only do that for so long.
Yeah, I agree.
Before they were... Even if they begun to believe that he wasn't a traitor,
uh-huh.
It gets to the point where they're like, we have to start. Well, and it's sort of like
Phaedra vibes. Like, before when it was like... Everyone knew Phaedra was a traitor and they were genuinely just like, oh, we just don't want to kick you out because we like having you here, you know. But some point it's like, well, we need to start playing to win. And I think that
I've been loving all the content between Dylan and Rob. Oh, it's so cute. After. I love that there's no bad blood there. And that's the thing that I respect about Rob.
Yes.
You know, contrary to how Wes acted last week, is that like,
he knows it's a fucking game. The difference,
exactly. And he takes it seriously and he's there, but he's there to have fun.
Yes.
And he's not there to like, sorry, you're not going to war, Wes. This is not like, this isn't some serious, this isn't an Olympic sport either.
Yeah.
Like, chill the fuck out.
And I
the
also.
The fact that you've burned all these potential friendships that frankly could be financially beneficial to you.
Yeah, truly. It's so true. And I think one thing that, I don't know. I also think that Bob the drag queen like made a similar kind of mistake with the way turning it right back on Rob when Rob was like, you're a traitor. Like, I understand that was an extenuating circumstance, but Rob is like, I'm not going to throw the other traitors under the bus. I'm not going to like, I'm going to take the L gracefully. And it was like, he knew it was happening. He knew like, and it was just like, he was like, okay, I'm not going to. And then when he left, it was just like, he's just got honestly dad energy in like a really good way. And like when he leaves and he just like, it feels like he just wants everyone to like keep having fun playing the game. Like, even though he's not going to be there. And his whole thing with Sierra holding hands with a bug challenge. Oh, my God. She was so lucky.
I mean, I can't believe they made it. I can't believe they made it either. I really was like, Sierra's not going to.
When they started dropping the bugs on the heads, that's when I would have. Because even if I was like, even if I could get to a place in my mind where like, this wasn't my reality in the moment. And like, I was just
and then that
so
happened.
Checked out. Once that happened, I think I would honestly be so startled that I would like jump and rip my hand out. Like,
yeah, I think it would be like, and also I think it'd be like Meredith in the Parent Trap when she, the lizard, the scream.
Oh
the, like,
my
the,
God.
The
scream heard around like, the world. So long.
Yeah, that would be kind of Caroline's whole vibe. But Caroline did bring up a good point. We were talking about this. She was like, I think that I would just be like, I'm not going to be able to change. And now the bugs are in my clothes.
That is the
thing. I'm just going to.
If I could handle
the thing is
being
like,
startled.
You're a bug girl now.
You're a bug girl now. You are the bug girl now. Yes.
You are the bug now, girl.
Yes. Phoebe and I were just volleying back this little phrase the other day over text because we were talking about this and I was like, Phoebe was like, Caroline, we're going to need to practice. You know, I like that Phoebe's just fully signed on with like, I'm probably going to be on Big Brother this year. So we need to start thinking about the training schedule. And she was like, Caroline, we're going to need to practice this. And I was like, right. I think if you can make it past the first bug drop, okay. At that point, if I'm Sierra, I'm thinking to myself, I have the rest of the time standing over there watching and watching bugs being dropped on someone. So I'm still going to feel the like creepy crawly on me. Then I have the whole fucking like van ride back to the castle. And then am I even going to get to change when I'm at the castle? Like, when is the next time I'm going to get to change? At this point, I am the bug girl now. Like, I am going to have bugs in my clothes until I change. So I might as well just like get on board and like, what's another maggot in me? I already have the mommy. I'm already going to feel like this anyway, you know?
And the thing is that Caroline had texted and said, you didn't say you're the bug now, girl.
I read it as now, girl.
And Naculous. You're the bug because you're the bug.
You are the bug now, girl. Yeah.
Now that you're covered in bugs, you're just
the bug. And like, if you can just get in the mindset of the bug, you can win this challenge.
Caroline's going to roll up to every challenge whispering, you're the bug.
You are the bug now, girl. Okay, that's going to be like my secret little thing when I'm on Big Brother. I'm about to go on the challenge and I look at
Caroline,
the camera.
Don't do
and
that.
For all the Road Warriors, I say, you are the bug girl now. And then I do and I win. And I win every challenge.
Girl
and
has
like,
to
okay,
come
maybe
after
I
now.
Should be saying that. You it are the bug now, girl.
Yeah, now comma girl.
Okay. But I'll practice to make sure I don't fuck it up.
Me at home not watching the episode but just waiting for like you voting and I'm like you say it wrong and I'm like fuck.
Gag!
Are you kidding me?
You know how many times I thought about okay so what am I gonna say when I like do my voting and at the end I'm like okay shout out blah, blah, blah. What am I gonna say, like I definitely gonna say shout out Road Warriors of course and then like Chuck and Drama, that's it. Just kidding. I just joshed it. I'm going
to everybody in your life is a Road Warrior. And that's what made Cam so likable was that Cam
shout
just
out
had
to my dogs
his...
at the crib.
Right.
It was like, okay, we all, it's a blanket statement. I feel like I felt the love from Cam every time. Yeah. Last night, I was like, Anthony, I was in bed with Anthony and we're going to sleep. And I was like, Anthony, what if I get cast on Big Brother? Are you going to be okay with it? And he was like, let's just cross that bridge when we
which is, by
and
the
I
way,
was like, I was like,
some
no,
of us
no,
might
but,
be speaking
Anthony,
differently to Caroline's face, but most of us are having that thought. We're like, and we're just going to let Caroline keep walking on a treadmill,
okay,
but
also,
we're all
no,
like
you're
kind
not.
Of, Caroline's, no, we're all walking on a treadmill, and
not
that means standing
you.
Still. No, you are no. walking on a treadmill, and we're all like, okay, well, we can't even see the bridge yet. We're not even,
no,
like, there's no car
Phoebe,
here to pick us up, so
Phoebe,
we're all just going to, like, sit.
No.
But we're
is,
here with
no,
you.
No, that is not what you're doing. You feel it too. Stop lying. Stop
no,
lying.
But I am. But at my core, I am like, let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
And let me be clear. So am I. So am I.
No, you're not.
However, shut
Googling.
Up. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I have to be prepared. Because here's the thing, Phoebe.
Crazy.
Shut up. Here's the thing, Phoebe. Let's say, by the way, it's today's Sunday. Tomorrow, they're going to start watching the videos, and they watch every single one. So they're going to see my video, okay? And they're starting tomorrow. I could get a call as early as Friday or as late as May, Phoebe. So, like, I'm going to be
really
in this purgatory.
Do they really watch every video?
Yes. That is the thing they are adamant about. Like, everything I've read, they're like, we watch every, like, if you
how many
a video
submissions
in,
do you think they get?
I don't know.
I mean, thousands.
But that is, I mean, yes, I'm sure hundreds of thousands. But then, you know, I was looking, like, I was like, okay, let me check out the competition.
Can you watch them?
No, but I was looking at the comments on like the casting director's Instagrams. They're like, I'm gonna win, just submitted my video. Like, I am the next winner, Big Brother. And I go look at their profile. And I'm like, no, you're not. And I'm like, no, you're not. And I'm like, you know what? They got to have some cool people on the show. And that is what's
you'll
going
be,
for me.
You'll be the Leah.
I'm
going to
be like the normie, but not really. But like the low-key could present
you're
as a normie.
You're going to be the like incognito fucking freak,
right.
But you present as a normie.
I think, I'm going to have to put all my musical theater camp training into effect and be like, you walk in and that it's the same thing. It's the same feeling,
Caroline,
when you walk in the Big Brother house
that's...
when you walk into a musical theater camp.
Yeah, and I don't think that part of you is really like dormant. So I don't think that will
no.
be an issue.
But I want to be clear. I am thinking of it as let's cross this bridge when we come to it. However, I just also know that like if that bridge comes and they're like, okay, I'm calling you in May and you're flying out in 3 weeks, like that just, I don't want to start preparing then. So I just
that's
need to start
true.
Getting my hand wrapped around it because that is the smart thing to do. That I'm just showing that I'm serious about it, okay? And my Google agent assigned to my phone knows that, and that's important to me. I have been Googling how do I train for things. And the one thing I wouldn't be able to do is a haunted house, which we know. But yeah, I do think it's kind of funny to just keep talking about it.
One of my favorite parts of this episode of Traitors was the bug challenge, and it was Tom specifically in the bug challenge. For
how
some reason,
good he felt about himself.
No, the angles of his face, and the way that the goggles accentuated his supervillain look, plus the top hat, and plus his
the
facial
top
expressions.
Top hat.
He looked like a LazyTown villain.
Mm. That's a great way to talk about him.
Thank you.
He does because
he is. He's not
villain.
And you know, at one point he's very capable of causing harm, but in
yes,
an arena like this, he's harmless.
He's just, and I love that he believes that he single-handedly got Boston Rob out. It's like, Tom, no, listen. Everyone knows.
The kid with an unplugged game controller.
Exactly, it is. Everyone knew Boston Rob was a traitor, okay? They were just like, maybe someone else is because we like having him here and he, like, we feel like he's helping us. And, like,
Sierra couldn't vote him out. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Imagine they actually, somehow this got off camera, but they were like, hey, Rob, when things get pointed at you tonight, can you just, like, turn it back on Wes? Because we want him out of here.
We want to keep you around for a bit. I feel like that low-key is what happened last week. I feel like it didn't matter to Chriselle in that moment if Wes actually was a traitor. She was like, fuck you. You deserve to be out of the house. I don't want to share the pot with you.
And I know that I said something about how Chriselle talked about Tom, and I do stand by how I thought that was a little bit annoying in the beginning. Just because it was Chriselle. The way that Chriselle gets, like, a little bit, I don't know. It's the same thing that happened in the earlier season. Yeah. I was just like, and we don't need this early quite
right
yet. Like, it was just a little much. And it was a lot in the first episode. Mm-hmm. But I do. This is what I like. Is just like the subtle strays that she's have to catch. Like she's like, yes. I don't want to vote for either of the consequential players. So I'm just gonna vote for Tom.
It was hilarious, and Tom's like, oh, that makes sense. Like when they go to Tom's face for those things, and he's like, okay, it's so.
I think we should just lock Tom up in this castle, keep him there. He and Fergus get to just like they keep the grounds intact, and then he doesn't even have to be a player every season, but I think it would be interesting if he thought he was a player every season.
I'm sure he will I think Tom Sandoval found where he thrives, and it is this castle in the Scottish Highlands. That just is where it is. Who do you think they're gonna kill face to face?
Who's up again?
So Dylan, Gabby, Tom, Chriselle, and Dolores, and Carolyn.
Okay, it's Carolyn and Danielle.
I think if they're smart, Dolores? They'll do Dylan.
Oh.
Dylan's more of a threat. I think, because here's the other thing. Now Dylan is feeling...
Which is why, that's what I mean. I was doing it more from their head, not who I think they should. I think they... I know Carolyn's a better game player, but I do see them.
Well, they both are game players. I think we're going to see their gameplay come out a lot without Rob being here. Like, it's interesting. We'll be able to see more of, like, their strategic thinking. I think that if they are smart, they will get rid of Dylan. Because Dylan is feeling very unprotected now, and they know that, you know? And it's like, I don't know, I think that... He's like Pilot Pete vibes, where he is such a faithful and he's capable of speaking and getting people to agree with him and believe him. And like, that's dangerous. And they need to get that out because low key, the faithfuls are kind of running around chickens with their heads cut off. Like, they don't know which way's up. They're low, like the Bambi. Like, I love you guys. We're not working with a whole lot here. So they need to get out the people who, like, you know,
it's going to be so interesting to see who becomes the target now that Rob is gone, because they're truly not suspecting Danielle and Carolyn at all. And
I think they're suspecting Danielle a little bit.
Yeah, but not, I don't think in a way that they're really taking seriously.
But now that Rob is out of here, as we're saying, like, I think they're going to have to look at them more. Yeah. I think a lot of attention was on Rob, and that's going to be moved a little bit. Summer House starts this week.
I'm so excited.
What did you think of Craig on Watch What Happens Live?
Okay, first and foremost, I'll start with a positive. I thought he looked so hot. Like, I've never been more attracted to Craig, actually.
No, he did look really hot.
I was, like, kicking my feet. I was like, he looks so good. I love the length of his hair right now. His outfit looked good. He looked really good. And
Craig is really handsome.
And I've always thought that, but something
I love
about
his smile.
I like when he's not fully goofy. Smiling, and it just kind of goes to the side and
yes.
He's so cute. Anyway, other than
Phoebe
that,
is actually like blushing right now because he is so cute and like,
I disagree with Mom's opinion of Craig.
Okay.
In his performance on Watch What Happens Live, she agrees that he doesn't have to say anything about whether or not Paige cheated. And all I'm saying is, I don't under, like, the only, there are only two reasons you're saying that she didn't cheat. Either mm-hmm. she did cheat and you don't want to say that, and that I would respect more.
Mm-hmm.
Or you like that this rumor is out there and it makes you more sympathetic, mm-hmm. and you want to seem like you're taking your hands out of the pot and not doing anything, but you are by not confirming or denying. And you can say you think she's with that guy. That's fine. That's different. Yeah. But like this idea that I'm the ex-boyfriend, I'm not. It's like, okay, but you are the ex-boyfriend. You're not like her ex. You're not Perry commenting on all this stuff that he doesn't know about. There are only two characters in this entire thing, and it's you and Paige. And I just think if you loved Paige as much as you're saying you do and you did, you wouldn't want people to be treating her the way that they are. And I don't understand. It would be so easy, and it would not affect you, and it would not change things if you said no, Paige didn't cheat, because you're already running with this narrative that she blindsided you. That's enough of a reason for most of Bravo Nation to sympathize with you. So I don't understand why you feel like you need this too, unless she did cheat.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I think a few things. I think that.
I don't think she cheated, though, by the way. I have no idea
if she cheated. I think she was checked out. I don't think that she cheated, but I think she was already recovered from the breakup before she broke up with him. And mm-hmm. I think she was had a single mindset before she was maybe single. And I think that also, like, I agree that it would have been really easy for him just to say she didn't cheat. But I also think that, like, he's so hurt and he's so mad. And he doesn't, like, he can say that he's past the anger. He's not. Like, mm-hmm. even when Andy said, like, oh, you were moving really quickly through the phases of grief. Like, I don't think so. I think he's probably still really mad. And the reality is breakups are messy. Like,
yeah,
people, and usually when someone breaks up with you, it is like, I mean, I bet Craig is probably like, well, if he feels blindsided, he might not know. He might believe that maybe she did. Like, I feel like he's probably in this world where he's like, who is this person? Like, and I know that, like, we all see that she's been telling him who she is and like what this is for a long time. But mm-hmm. also
when it was a tough episode.
Yeah,
to be Craig. Followed by him on Watch What Happens
being
Live,
like,
being
she
like,
was saying all this.
She blindsided me. We were talking about all this stuff, and it's like
we kind of saw it, but I do think also she did, and we've talked about this. So I think you know, you have a bad day in New York, and you're like, I can't wait to just move down to Charleston and have babies and just marry you. And the thing is, she said so many times, I am gonna marry you. You are gonna be the father. Like, she said those things on camera. So if that's what he was believing, because that's what she told him, mm-hmm. she's like, why can't you just believe me when I'm telling you this, you know? And it's like, so that's what he did. And then I'm sure if that's the mindset he's in, then he's like, well, then what the fuck happened? Because something must have happened that changed this. If he mm-hmm. feels blindsided, I could see where it's like, well, I'm trying to think of how this could have happened. And now maybe I'm like, oh, this would make sense. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
so I think if I'm going through a breakup, like, that is what I'm thinking. And so I'm not going to say they didn't do that if I'm not sure they didn't do that. And I know Paige is saying she didn't do that, but that doesn't mean he believes it. And the other mm-hmm. thing is, I think also, like, those were rumors that were going around far before they ever broke up. Like, think about Taylor saying it, you know? So it's like, then you would replay all of those things in your head. Like, how am I? Like, maybe she was doing this the whole time. And, like, I don't think she was. I really don't. I'm only putting it from his perspective, how I can see where he would get there and, like, react like that. And the other thing I think that I kind of do agree with is, like, it's just not his job anymore. Like, it's not his job to protect her anymore. She broke up with him. Like, it's just, I don't have to anymore. Like, I don't owe her anything. You know what I mean? And, like,
I do agree. I guess I just feel like, that, and I get it, maybe he's just trying to live in his power, but I just feel like the way he talks about how he felt about her, I don't understand why he wouldn't want to this is gonna be the last thing that you do.
Yeah,
but just
I think that's
I don't
why,
I think
though.
There has to be a part of him that is like, you still want to protect her from like the last thing that you can protect her from. I don't know.
I think though, I wonder if he feels like, I think he feels like I'm pissed off that I gave you all this youth for free vibes. Like, I think that he's like really mad and get it. Like, I would also be really mad. Even especially though the writing was on like, the wall, it's like
that conversation that they had at the farm where she's like, I want what you had. And it's like, okay, but he had it and he's almost 40.
And he also was single when he was your age, Paige. He was heartbroken over Naomi. He wanted that with Naomi. She broke up with him.
Yeah. So if you want that, you shouldn't
be with
him. You knew you wanted that.
Yeah.
And he was just, you should have, it doesn't matter how much maybe you liked him at the time. Maybe you should have looked at his age and been like, we are in different places. And he already had his Naomi. Like, maybe Craig is your Naomi, but maybe he shouldn't have been.
It's just like, you also spent
in terms of
so
not what they did to each other. I just mean in terms of where they were in their lives.
Well, and I feel like Paige spent so long convincing him that like, yeah, eventually this is what we're going to do. And we're working towards this. And just right now, I want to be focused on my career. And that's okay. And we're this really healthy relationship. And that's who we are. And I feel like she spent so long convincing him of this. And then he's like, wait, what? Like, was this all a lie? Like, what was this? You know? And right. I feel like there could be a moment of, who have I fucking been dating? Like, who, you know, she doesn't feel like that. But I would not be surprised if in his hurt, that's where he is with it. And I think, like, it's so fresh, low-key. I know it's been 2 months or whatever, but it is so fresh for him to go and watch What Happens and talk about it. And I think I'm excited for Paige to go on soon and for Summer House and hear what she has to say.
I think he deserves a bit of grace in terms of... Or wait. I was going to say, when she talked about the timeline on Giggly Squad of, like, when she broke... like. What she thought the time period was and the way that she was like, I let him go on Watch What Happens and act like we were still together. And then he, like, I see room for both. I can see how Craig might, maybe that phone call in Paige's mind, she's like, I'm breaking up with you. But maybe she was like, I think we need to have a conversation. Maybe she didn't say it in a way that really nailed
it. Right.
And because she was also at that time saying that they were, to get, it's not because I'm trying to remember.
Well, and also, what I think she had a live show and she said they were together.
Right.
I also think,
and
that,
why did,
like,
I want to bring that? There
you
was something
spent
that she
Thanksgiving
said that contradicted
together,
that.
And 2 days later, you called him and said, I think we need to break up. It seems like they maybe have those conversations kind of a lot. And there's so much outside noise in their relationship that I'm sure they did, you know? Like, I'm sure they did. And I'm sure she had moments where she felt like bad about holding him in this relationship and she knew that, you know, she wasn't ready for what he was ready for. And I'm sure she had times where she called him and was like, we should break up because I feel bad about, you know. And so he was probably like, no, we'll talk down. And then him staying in her apartment for a week after that, it's like, that would be confusing for sure. And like, they're still talking and she's saying she misses him, like all these things. Was like, I get that, but I just think, and I know Craig's a liar, but I don't hold him to lying about that as much. Cause like, it is true. He's like, we have the conversation the next day. I'm on press for Southern Charm. Am I going to be like, oh, I think we're broken up, when like she could change? It's like the Matt James thing. Like, he shouldn't have made the post right away because Rachel's like, if he hadn't made that post, we probably would still fucking be together, you know? So I think there's a piece of you that's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And the way that their lives and their relationships are, they can't be casual and cavalier about saying things like, oh, we're broken up, because then everyone erupts with the, you know, and then if it isn't true, like, so, but that is the one thing I will say about, they are not the typical relationship. And so I'm speaking about how I feel Craig could feel as if I were just broken up with, like, by somebody and I felt like that and how I would feel. The difference is, they are in the public eye in a way that, like, I think the rule book does change a little bit. And I think that, like, whereas in real life, Craig might not owe anything to Paige, you might be right that in this world they live in, he might. And I just don't.
Because it's just,
so it's complicated.
And I know that
I don't know.
It's on a smaller scale, but it is kind of like when pop stars don't, like, tell their fans to not attack other artists or other fans. And it's like, you
it's
kind
like it would
of
be
have
so
this weapon. You have this weapon, this group of people that you can weaponize. And it's sometimes your responsibility to steward them more responsibly. And he's not doing that. I wish he would. Because I just think it might be easier, Craig, for you to move on if you would just put that to rest so that it's not a topic on Watch What Happens every time someone in your circle, Summer House or Southern Charm, come on. So it's not having to be talked about. Maybe you could just put it to bed so that you and all of Bravo can just move on.
Yeah, true. Totally true. A couple things about the Grammys. We're going to go more in depth on the podcast this Friday. But I want to say a few things. One, Kanye and Bianca, what the fuck? And I also need to say, Phoebe, did you see the photos of Bianca at the Grammys after party sitting on a counter with the microphone singing Adele?
No.
Oh my God, I need to speak on this. Well, I only saw photos, still photos, no videos. I need to see a video, and here's why. If this girl is a bad singer, no, wait. First, let's explore the other possibility, okay? If this girl is a bad singer, she is doing the funniest thing that has ever been done. She is at a Grammys after party, naked, after being escorted out because they were uninvited and showed up anyway, and she essentially exposed herself on the red carpet. She then goes to a Grammys after party, takes a microphone so that her voice is amplified, and sings not just any old song, but an Adele song, one of the great songstresses of our generation. And if she is bad, Phoebe, that is the funniest thing that's ever happened. That is the funniest fucking thing ever, and it honestly makes me like her. If she's good, it explains why she's with Kanye West. But girlfriend, you are missing the mark a little bit. But then I'm like, oh, she wants to be a star.
Yeah, you kind of missed the window on using Kanye to amplify your career.
As
like
your
Julia
ticket.
Fox got in there at just the right
got
time.
Got in, got out. And now look at her. She's performing
and
at
and it was
the
like,
Grammys.
It was in that weird limbo period where we were like, he was doing some weird stuff, but he wasn't, I feel like he wasn't totally gone yet.
Yeah.
And now it's like, since then, basically, I feel like it's been like okay, there's no recovery.
Completely disgraced. No. And so now you are too, Bianca. And honestly, she's very much giving like captive vibes.
Yeah.
She's
and
giving
I don't
like,
how did he find someone
I'm here
who
against
like
my
him.
Will. Well, I think he made her look like Kim. I think maybe
and
she
it
didn't.
Looked like she did not want to take that coat off. I don't want to speculate, but it didn't look
I
like
agree.
She wanted to take that coat off at all.
I agree. And I mean, I don't blame her if she didn't. If she didn't want to take that coat off, I don't blame. She looked amazing. It's nothing to do with that. It's just like, can you fucking imagine not being invited to the Grammys and then doing that? But obviously she wasn't that embarrassed because later on she was singing in a microphone at
well,
an
she's
after
like, wait,
party.
I'll do this with my peeps.
Yeah,
I just
with
didn't
my,
really
with my
do
besties.
It on the carpet.
But I'm like, are these your besties? What? I
want
to
know whose
it.
After party it was.
Who's after, and I need to hear it. Like, literally, Phoebe, I'm not kidding you. It's giving, like, A Star Is Born, Gaga singing Levy and Rose, like, on the bar. Like, like she's, like, leaning back. Like, her legs are kicking up. She's, like, her arm up in the mic singing Adele. And I only know because they said that. But I'm like, what Adele song? What if
What's
she's singing, like,
answer?
Hello? Like, what if she's singing Hello? Like,
Chasing Pavements.
Oh my God. I hope that's what she was singing. Not like someone like you. Rolling in the deep. Like, you know what I mean? This could rumor has it. Maybe that won't be okay.
Oh my God.
If she did the smash rendition of Rumor Has It, turns out I'm fine with it. Turns
or,
out I'm completely
or
wait.
It's the Glee mashup of Someone Like You and Rumor Has It with the slap.
Ah.
Slaps Kanye.
Well, wait, I also, that just brought me back. I remembered something that Anthony's grandma said at brunch yesterday. And maybe this is how we end the episode. We just bookend it with a little bit more of Venerina.
Yeah, so we do have to do our rotations afterwards.
Oh, I forgot about that. You're right. She says, Caroline, I saw a video from a new Broadway musical. And I can't remember the name of it, but I really thought you gotta be in this show. And I said, I know exactly what show you're talking about. Is it Death Becomes Her? And she said, I think it is. And she's
with
like,
Megan
there's this, she goes, there's a scene where she comes and she sits on the couch. And I said, correct. Where she goes, what have you seen of me cinematically? I was like, that has to be it. And I just love that, like, truly my type is it transcends. It just, it's there. We all knew. And maybe that's not the show she was talking about. But yes, it is.
Imagine. Because we know famously she got Into the Woods and Wicked confused.
I just hated what they did with Cinderella's Prince.
and Meryl Streep.
And Meryl Streep was awful. All right. We're going to talk more about the Grammys on Friday, but obviously we are thrilled about Beyoncé's Album of the Year win and
I have a
album.
Pretty intense rant that I'll unload on the
Patreon. My God. Wait.
I'm like just so fucking tired of stan culture. It pisses me off so much. It like actually gets me aggravated and I can't look at the discourse because the way that people are talking about Beyonce's win is actually making me irate.
I've had to have some discussions with my students. I've had to be like,
if you did not
listen
to the album, the idea that Billie Eilish deserved that award over Beyonce is asinine and it pisses me off. And you're watching the Grammys for the wrong reason. Go watch the Billboard Awards. That's what you're interested in. It is not an award for the most streamed album. That is not what it's about. It's not an award for the song that you know all the words to. That's not what it is. These people are voting with different criteria than you and your fucking Crossley record player. I don't want to hear it. It pisses me off. She deserved this award more. It's maybe not out of her albums the one I would maybe put this award on first, but it deserved it this year. It absolutely she's lost it years where the winner did not deserve it.
Right.
It makes me so mad. So I'll talk more about it on the Patreon.
Well, anyway. I can't wait. Now I can't wait.
I'm first. 1 second. Yeah. Let me pull it up. Well, first, just along this vein, is going to be the lovely queen of the beehive, the firefighter, the Shiro, who announced the award. And what I love about it is that it wasn't like they just let someone read the thing that wasn't going to understand the gravity of what was happening here. She opened it. She gasped. And then she clutched the envelope to her heart and looked at Beyonce
and stuttered
and was hypnotized to a point where she didn't know what she was saying anymore. And she said, Cowboy Carter. And what I just loved about this moment is that she got to have that moment of like,
that's so cute,
getting
cool.
to it. And she understood it. And she understood that not only was she getting to hand this Grammy to Beyonce, but also like, it's such a historic moment. I loved that. Because that then allowed the energy in the room to be like the way everybody jumped up for her and like everybody was truly excited for Beyonce in that moment and probably relieved. Everybody that was like, I don't know. And in the video of Billie crying, stop trying to make that into her being upset that she lost. Everybody was emotional that Beyonce finally got to have this moment. And I'm just glad that Shiro was the person who got to announce it because she understood it. It was the same energy as when Harry Styles' biggest fan, who was that 70-year-old woman, got to announce that he won Album of the Year. Even though I was upset with that win, I like when they have people who understand it and announce it. It's they understand the weight of what they're doing. So her. I should have found her name, but I didn't. Next is Dochi.
I'm obsessed with Dochi right now.
I know that it'll be a sober rotation. So I just want to, you know. Anyway, I love her. I think she's sober. So I didn't want to. A rotation of people that I want to hang out with.
Yes, yes.
Dochi was wonderful. I've loved her for so long. I'm glad she's finally getting her flowers. That album was incredible. Her performance, what I love about, we'll talk more about it on the Patreon, but I just liked that every Best New Artist nomination got a moment. This new Grammys regime is really doing a lot of things that I like and made it really enjoyable and is making the winners were everything was better this year.
Yeah.
But Dochi's performance was just like so creative.
The
so
artistry,
her,
the vision. I watched it like 15 times.
And she also, she didn't have a track. She wasn't singing to a track. She was
in any time
she couldn't get a word, there was someone with a microphone filling it in.
Yes.
Imagine the rehearsal that took.
No, it was
insane. To make sure that it was perfect. There was no delay. It was great. She was wonderful. I loved the Tom Brown on her.
Yeah.
And her speech was great. I liked the dichotomy between her speech and Chappell's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Comment. Obviously, Chappell more overt, but still, there was the gratitude, but then also commenting on just pointing things out that are mm-hmm. like, I loved when Cardi B corrected her when Doechii said only two women. And then I think Cardi B was like three, and she was like, three now, three women have won this award. Aww. And it is kind of crazy that it's only three. And I know Nicki Minaj is a bit disgraced, but it is crazy that she's never won that award when she really is the sound of female rap from the 2010s.
I agree.
Not to take away from anybody, but anyway.
She brought it to the mainstream in a way that I don't think we had super seen it done before.
Exactly. And I think it would have been harder for someone like Cardi, not that she wasn't working and like trying, not that she wasn't grinding before, but I think that Nicki opened a lot of doors. And I just am surprised she was never at that time recognized for it when she was the biggest thing on radio for a really long time. Last, and she's been on this list for a long time and I just haven't gotten to her, is Tate McRae. Y'all know I love her. And I've been saying this. I don't mean to be this person, but I have been trying to get Caroline on the Tate McRae train since She's All I Want to Be, or whatever that song is called.
Okay, I've been on it, though. You know that, right?
I know, but a couple years ago on the podcast, I brought up this music video, and I was like, you need to watch it. She is like Britney Spears vibes. The choreo is unbelievable. Anyway, my favorite song right now is Two Hands. I love that. I think it's like a perfect pop song. I don't care that the girl can't sing live. It's perfect.
No, I don't care. I don't care. If she can dance like that, I don't care.
She can do whatever she wants.
We need pop stars that are performers as well. And Britney couldn't really sing. Stop saying she could. She couldn't. Yeah. So, like, you know, this is
She could sing like Britney, and that was what that was what it was.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, that's my rotation. I'm sorry. The songs are so catchy. I'm obsessed with Sports Car. I just learned a TikTok dance to it. So, yeah. All right.
So, yeah. You can see she's on the permanent rotation.
And my feelings more than Drake, so yeah. Oh, whoops, Drake.
Oh my God, wait. I just got a premonition. Tonight, we're recording before the Super Bowl. We all think that Taylor's going to come out into Bad Blood with Kendrick, and also probably Backseat Freestyle, because that's her favorite song, that video of her rapping in her fucking beanie.
In the car, Mimi sent that to me, and she said,
and I was like, me seeing it on Twitter, praying that Mimi wouldn't find it. but also me trying to explain, like, she's not just, like, making a fool of herself. She knows Kendrick. They're buddies. She's dancing and singing and sweeping because they're buds. But I'm not going to show you a video to explain how much. She's going to come out, and we think that it's going to be those two songs, Bad Blood and that. But actually, Kendrick is dropping a verse on I Forgot That He Existed just because of that lyric.
And my feelings more than... So, yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I can't wait to see what she puts on there instead.
That song is Senorita Awesome. So, yeah.
It really is. It really is. And then something happened when Beautiful Night. Really, or whatever words
that's
are.
A tough one. A tough one to open the album with.
And it didn't. So it didn't.
She's the thing about Taylor, she does have an unmistakable writing voice, because you can't sing that song without doing looking around.
I forgot that you existed, without doing that with your head, because that's how she actually makes that sound happen with her voice, is just by moving her head. Anyway, okay, my nightmare rotation. First up is Kanye West. What the fuck are we doing? Take away his Twitter account. What the hell? He is a dangerous fucking man. He is a nightmare. I am repulsed by him. I am repulsed by the people in power who continue to give him a platform and the people that he aligns himself with. I think it says a lot. So if you're disgusted by Kanye, look deeper into that. Okay, great. Love that. And that's number one. Number two, Jared Osmond. Oh my God. You are also the scum of the earth. What the fuck? Craziest text I've ever heard a man send to a woman. Like, I could not believe my ears. It was
a woman you barely know.
A woman you barely know. A woman that Britney barely knows. You probably barely know Britney, Jared. Like, you're a piece of shit. Go fuck yourself. Okay. So that's number two. And then number three are like my haters and people like Phoebe who are like, let's cross that bridge and we come to it with Big Brother. Like, no, it's called get fucking ready. Let me try that again. It's called stay fucking ready so that you don't have to get fucking ready.
And I am going to be ready.
Wait, why is that kind of like a hybrid of something that Lisa Barlow and Whitney Rose would say?
I don't know.
It is.
But
especially
but
heavy on
that's
Whitney.
That's my truth. That's my truth. And I hope this ages well. And I hope this ages well. And if it doesn't, I never said this, okay? If it doesn't, I never said this, and you're all going to be like, no, she never said that. We literally didn't even know she did not even apply.
That's AI.
If I don't get in,
that's AI.
Oh, great. God, we are all concerned about AI, as we should be, okay? Because look what they're doing. Starting rumors that I applied to Big Brother and didn't get on. That would obviously never happen. Okay.
And it's crazy. AI has gotten really scary because, look, they even figured out how to comment from her account and her podcast account on.
And it's like on the casting agent. It's like, oh, my God, this is worse than we thought. This is worse than we thought.
Suddenly Caroline's like taking it because I'm not saying that she hasn't been, but imagine like suddenly she's like, wait, we should be looking into this.
Let's take a freaking and thank you for saying I'm not saying that she hasn't. Yeah, I have been doing a lot of work researching the AI dilemma that we're facing as a nation, as a country.
I saw this video of this professor who was a TA absolutely laying into her students because she
I saw it.
They were taking a test or like they had to do like this big thing and she goes, I emailed you the
answers. And none of you read it.
None of you even opened it.
Me trying to read so quick to see what class this was.
I'm so glad that I graduated before AI really took hold.
Me
because,
too.
Like, imagine if you genuinely didn't use it. Because there's been cases of that too where students haven't used ChatGPT and the professor is just positive they did.
I would be so stressed out all the time. It would be terrible because I wouldn't be using it, but I would be like so scared someone would think I was just like when you're like at the airport and you're like I know I don't have anything that could explode but what if I do? So it's like that.
Who's afraid of little old me?
Me.
But what if I do? You're on the conveyor belt. You're doing this.
Tell
like
me
Taylor.
You don't have a bomb in your bag. But what if I do? That is called having OCD, by the way. Okay. Just say you didn't bring it here to hurt me. But what if I did?
TSA. There's a Swifty TSA agent that's like trying to tell people what to take out of their bags and is on top of the little metal thing.
Yes, and it's
doing the
TGPT. Around, yes.
But what if you did?
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. Anyway, so okay, and I think that's a perfect note to end this on.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, you've got to go shop our Love You Like a Sister merch drop. It is live. We have lots of fun colors. Really excited about this one. Please make sure you listen to our episode on Thursday. We are recapping season 6, episode 12 of Pretty Little Liars called Charlotte's Web. In the beginning, we thought it was kind of a snooze fest of an episode, but I think you will find that it's not. You will find that it's absolutely not, and we had a laugh riot. We had a great time. So that's coming out on Thursday, and then on Friday, you will get another podcast because there was just simply so much pop culture to be discussed. We're going to get deep into our thoughts on the Grammys. You're going to get Phoebe's angry rant, and that alone is worth the price of admission, okay?
It's only $3.
Exactly. So that's why it's worth it. Just kidding. Your angry rants are worth the $12 tier for sure. And we are going to be doing our Pretty Little Punch Bowl, I think, for our medium, our dream rotation tier on the Patreon. So if you have specific topics you'd like us to discuss in the Pretty Little Punch Bowl, please message us. Let us know, and we will add it to the docket. But yeah, that is it from us, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week. And splat.
And splat.
Yeah, take your time. It's not important.